Peter Bell here, Friday, January 27th. We're in Vancouver. Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. Hello.
Nice. Hi, Peter.
Nice to be with you.
It's good to be here again.
Are you exhausted?
Back in Vancouver.
Are you exhausted? Did you make it through this last week?
Yeah, and I only went to one of these conferences, so but I had to work the rest of the time.
Yep.
Lots of things on the go, lots of deals to look at, lots of deals that are trying to be made. Let's make a deal. That's the theme of the week. Let's make a deal.
So would you, or have you, you know, any comment on making deals on the conference room floor?
I think they're better made in bar.
Yeah.
The introduction can be made on the conference room floor.
Yep.
But you're not gonna make a deal there.
Yep.
Mutual interest by both parties. I would say modus operandi is maybe, especially if you're a geologist and you got that background, let's go to a bar, have a beer, get to know each other.
Yeah.
Number one, I think you want to know people before you start talking deal. Or it helps to know people.
Yeah.
It helps to get, sit down, have a beer or a glass of wine, get to know somebody, see if there's mutual likes, dislikes. If you agree on this or that, or disagree on this or that, get to know somebody before you go right into, okay, here's what we're going to try to hammer out with a deal.
Yeah.
I think sometimes those sort of old school things go by the wayside.
Yeah.
You know, and probably not for the betterment of our business.
There's
I'm used to handshake deals.
Yeah.
Have a deal, we have a deal, you know. It's like the Texas oil man routine. Well, you know, from the U.S., some Southwest U.S. guy, you know, and it's, you got to have some mutual trust, and if we're going to make a deal, we'll shake hands and make a deal, and maybe we need details hammered out. Certainly, the legal beagle's got to get involved.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can screw up the works. Capital markets guys can sometimes screw up the works.
Yeah,
Stock exchanges and the regulatory authorities can screw up the works. But we expect those sort of difficulties. We know that it's not easy to make a deal. But, you know, if I shake your hand and we say we got a deal, we're going to try our hardest to
get that
deal done.
Yeah, the intention, the good faith, these kinds of things, right? I've been surprised with my own stuff how, you know, some people, things change. People change, you know, and not necessarily over a long period of time either. It's just sometimes when money starts getting involved. And like, I've been doing lots of interviews with companies for free, and sometimes see different sides of things when money starts to get involved.
Yeah, well, you know, people... Humans are basically greedy, and there's three emotions that motivate the market.
Yep. Greed, fear.
Greed, fear, and panic.
Yeah.
And in good markets, greed takes a hold. In bad markets, panic takes a hold. But there's one emotion in the middle that transcends both of those others or influences, and that's fear. So in good markets, bull markets, raging bull markets, people have fear of missing the next big thing or missing a deal, and they get greedy. They got to get in now. And in bad markets, people have fear that they're going to lose their capital, and they go into panic mode. So if you could cut the fear portion out of that, then there would be not so much greed and not so much panic. And the world would really operate in a much better fashion, or the business world, or capitalism, or however you want to look at it. You know, getting people who think they invest in the stock market when they only can speculate in the stock market, and especially our market, which is the highest risk and highest reward venture capital market in the world.
Yep.
It's very hard to get them to enter into deals without emotion, trade stocks without emotion, and emotion kills it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you say the world might be a better place if there was no fear and the something along those lines, and it's a controversial statement, Mickey, right? Because what is the evolutionary value of fear? You know,
very good point, very well taken. So expound on that idea.
Oh, good Lord. No, I've got myself into it now.
No, well, I've never really considered that, but from an evolutionary point of view, every species evolves, or all mammals that have some of it. They hide, they scurry, you know, they have fear of getting eaten is the motivating factor, or fear of that gnawing hunger in your stomach when your next meal has not come for a while.
The motivation, right?
It is a very strong motivation, so point well taken. Counterpoint well taken there.
thanks. Well, that's the problem, though. What does it benefit us, right? Now we're just further down the rabbit hole. If I can make us more confused, then I've done my job.
Yeah.
Certainty is comforting and all that, right? But caution is the better part of valor or something, isn't it? Isn't
well, that the phrase? Absolutely. Being certain about something is oftentimes a highway to hell, I think. overconfidence.
Yes.
Failure to analyze systematically because you are so certain that something's going to work, or perhaps hopefulness leads to a false sense of certainty.
Yep. Well, and I think the psychologists could have a field day just separating out, you know, the fear and the optimism and the hopefulness, and just there's a lot of stuff all tied in together there, to my mind. But this point about not being emotional, right? Because what is it? Courage or something about, there's some phrase about courage being the ability to act as if you weren't afraid, even in circumstances where you are, da da da. So there's something there for me around, you know, not being emotional doesn't mean not having emotions and not feeling fear and not feeling excitement and all the greed, fear, panic things that come. But it's about, you know, some kind of an intellectual distinction between emotional responses that come up that you may or may not really be able to control within yourself.
No, I think it's about control.
Yeah.
And the ability to control your emotions.
Yeah.
And not let your emotions, whatever gamut they ran from positive to negative, influence your ability to think about things with, here we go, science and reason and logic, and using all your analytical tools, and if A, then B, and that implies that C or D is an option. You know, if you can look at the world, whatever you do, and those sorts of scientific, logical senses, and not depend on faith or belief to guide your decisions.
Sorry, Virginia, there is no Santa Claus.
Yeah, and I can make that argument until the day I die. And,
Well, and it's on the internet now.
We know there is no Santa Claus.
I don't know. I don't know that.
Well, unless you define Santa Claus as your benefactor or your parents.
Yes.
But
absence of evidence is not evidence of. Sorry, just to flip it though. One more.